Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday First Class, Grace Orientation, 19 February, 2012.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, as we continue in our special on grace. Continue in our special on grace. And in preparation to worship our Lord, it is our custom in this local church to spend the first few moments in silent prayer. And that's understanding some very important truths of Scripture. The Bible says that God loved the world so much that He gave us His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In that passage of Scripture, we have a hope for the whole world, not just for America, not just for a certain race or a certain people, but God loved the whole world so much that He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, His eternal Son. He sent from heaven to earth on that first Christmas. The purpose was for that eternal God to take on true humanity. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, the eternal Son of God took on true humanity so that He could go to a cross. And while He was on that cross, He solved a problem that the whole world has. The whole world has a problem. And that problem is sin. When Christ was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, imputed them to Jesus Christ, and then He judged them in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. Having solved the world's problem of sin, God is now free to offer a gift, and that gift is eternal life to anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And at that very instant of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you and He enters you into union with Christ. That really defines what Christianity is. It's not a religion. It is a personal relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ, entered into by faith in Him. And at that very instant of faith in Christ, God imputes to you His righteousness, declares you justified, vindicated, and He imputes to you the gift of eternal life, qualifying you to live with Him forever and ever and ever. And once you're in union with Christ, you can never lose your salvation. No matter how you fail, how you sin, how you fall on your face, you can never lose your salvation, because your salvation depends upon who and what Christ is, not who and what you are. And that's grace. And we don't earn it, and we don't deserve it, but that's the grace of God. At the very same time, you're entered into fellowship with God in time, characterized by the filling of the Spirit. You can never lose your salvation. That's God's grace. But you can lose fellowship with God. One of the easiest things to do, like watching the Rebels play Saturday. And by the way, I read the article in the paper this morning, and Anthony Marshall, they asked him, what happened? He said, our shots weren't falling. That's not why you lost, but this guy's living in a fantasy world. They need to come back to reality. Somebody needs to go down there and slap him. They lost all right. They didn't get lost. They got annihilated, destroyed. There was one team that wanted to play basketball. There was one team that read the newspapers. saw that they were 11th in the nation. They lost, all right. They had 17 turnovers. 17 turnovers. Made 50% of their foul shots. Shots aren't dropping. Don't worry about making a shot with somebody guarding you. You can't make them with nobody guarding you. They're called free throws for a reason. They're free. They're giving it to you, and you still say, no, we don't want them. 17 turnovers, 50% of their foul shots. Played no defense whatsoever, and got out-hustled everywhere on the court. That might be a reason. Otherwise, they played a damn good game. And at the way they're playing right now, they will not win any more games. By the way, class starts at 10. Class starts at 10, unless you're the preacher. All right. Because we don't want to interfere with the teaching of the Word of God. When the Word of God starts being taught, you should already be in and set down. Otherwise, you disturb everyone else here. And these are serious students of the Word of God. So we start on time. That means get here on time. Otherwise, I have to rebound. So you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose fellowship with God through sin. And it might be a mental attitude sin. It might be a sin of the tongue. Might be an overt sin. But whatever category of personal sins you commit, you do lose fellowship with God. The Bible says you're carnal, you're fleshly, you're operating according to the old sin nature rather than according to God the Holy Spirit. And everything the sin nature produces is minus R, unrighteousness. Then this is in contrast to God, who is plus R, absolute righteousness. And that creates a contradiction. A holy and a righteous God cannot and does not fellowship with you as a believer when there's unrighteousness in your soul. Personal sins defile the soul of the believer. So God demands that the soul be cleansed. And that cleansing is by grace. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, restoring us to fellowship with Him, which is the filling of the Spirit. Here's the power to live the spiritual life. Here's the power to learn the Word of God. And that's why we're here. Now, when you assemble here, I don't know whether you're in here in fellowship with God or out of fellowship because of unconfessed sin in your life. It's not for me to know. For you to know. But if you're out here, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we are constantly amazed at Your magnificent grace. And the very fact that we are even here this morning is a demonstration of who and what You are. And as we assemble now to worship You through the study of Your Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, we are in our special on grace. And we are looking at grace orientation as a problem-solving device in the plan of God for your life. And we are at that part that grace orientation as a problem-solving device provides in your life two things: encouragement. Grace orientation provides great encouragement in your soul, and it provides strength. Strength to meet anything you will ever face in this life. No matter what kind of problems you have, no matter what kind of difficulties you have, no matter what kind of suffering you're going through, adversity, pressure, grace orientation as a problem-solving device in your soul encourages you and comforts you. We'll see the word parakaleo and the noun paraklesis, which means encouragement but also comfort. And then strength, sterizo, which means to support, to fix something and stabilize you so that you are strong regardless of what's going on in the world or in America or in Las Vegas or in your family or on the job or whatever. Grace orientation. Problem-solving device. A problem-solving device that the only way you're going to get grace orientation is when it's hooked up with another problem-solving device, doctrinal orientation. And that's why you need to find a sound Bible teaching church and take advantage of it and assemble in humility. Humility is respect. Respect for authority. Humility is authority orientation. Humility is respect for God. Respect for the Word of God. Respect for the teaching of the Word of God. And by the way, right there, what I just said, humility, respect for God, His Word, and the pastor teaches, that's why you get here on time or ahead of time. Because you do so because you do have respect for God and His Word and the teaching of it. And when you don't have respect for God or His Word or the teaching of it, then you walk in and disturb everybody in the middle of the teaching of God's Word, making you more important than God. And you're not more important than God. You need to find a sound Bible teaching church and then assemble in humility. Respect for God, His Word, and the teaching of it. And take advantage of that teaching of God's Word. And grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Consistently and faithfully learning God's Word. And as you consistently and faithfully learn God's Word and believe it, you advance spiritually from babyhood to adolescence to spiritual maturity. You reach spiritual adulthood. And now you have fantastic problem-solving devices developed in your soul that God has given to you, such as grace orientation. Well, this is a special on grace. And so we are now looking at grace orientation and the encouragement and the strength that comes from it. And that's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort, eternal encouragement, and good confidence. The word hope, well, our English word hope really misses what the Bible says about hope. The English word hope says, well, I hope so. But that's not the kind of hope that God gives us. God gives us elpis, and that's a whole different ball game. The biblical word for hope, E-L-P-I-S, means confidence. confident expectation. Not, you know, somebody asked me, are you going to heaven? I don't say, well, I hope so. I say, hell yes, I'm going to heaven. Are you going to heaven? There's only one reason why anyone's going to be in heaven, and that's because you simply believe in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Salvation is by grace, because God does all the work, and you can't do anything. So God did all the work on your behalf. The Father planned salvation, the Son executed on the cross, the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, and if you simply believe in Christ, God gives you the gift of eternal life, and you will live with Him forever and ever, and you can have that hope, blessed hope, that confident expectation that you will live with the living God forever and ever and ever. Am I going to be in heaven? Yes, I am. Because I have a confident expectation. A good hope. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and encouragement and good hope, confidence, confident expectation. How? By grace. Where does this eternal encouragement and good hope, confident expectation come? By grace. By grace orientation. Comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Ergon and logos, modified by the adjective agathos. All right, this is a fabulous verse. Fabulous two verses, excuse me. Fabulous two verses that tell us that there is eternal encouragement that comes from grace orientation. Eternal encouragement comes from grace orientation. Eternal comfort comes from grace orientation. Strength to meet any problem, any pressure, any adversity. And you know what? You're going to need this problem-solving device, because we got some problems in America. We got some problems in America. We have leadership in this country that's gone to that has traveled to 30 Muslim nations and met the leaders in 30 Muslim nations and has not gone to Israel even once. Not even once to Israel. And Israel is our friend and our ally. Israel is our friend and loves America. And the 30 nations he went to do not love America. It's their objective to destroy Israel first and to destroy America second and any democracy next. And this is the leadership of our nation. And we're stupid enough to keep electing him. What's going on in the souls of the people here? Well, we're explaining that, by the way, and in our other classes. You might want to come Thursday night. We're studying about the ruler of this world, Satan, and his strategies, and why all of this kind of stuff is going on is explained very clearly in the Word of God. We're going to have a lot of problems in this country. You ain't seen nothing yet, brother. It's coming. You're going to see disaster in America. You're going to see economic collapse in America. It's coming. You think it's not going to get better till it gets a lot more worse first. Unless there is a major turnaround in the thinking, and that the Christians in this country turn back to God and to His Word, recover and get out of carnality and reversionism and humility, turn to Jesus Christ and start growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ so the pivot enlarges. Unless this starts happening soon and quick, well, we're going to have a lot of adversity and a lot of suffering and a lot of pressure. And you're going to need this right here. Grace orientation. You're going to need this problem-solving device. Why? Because God has incorporated in this problem-solving device encouragement and strength. So, one, God's virtue love toward us is a part of the eternal comfort of grace. God's virtue love toward us is a part of the eternal comfort of grace. Look what it says here. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us. And this word for love is agapao in the Greek, which looks like this. That's A-G-A-P-A, long O, agapao. And this is a word used in the New Testament for virtue love. For God's virtue love. And God's virtue love is made up of two parts. It's made up of impersonal love, which depends totally on His character, totally on who and what God is, totally on His integrity, totally on His righteousness and His perfect justice, totally on His holiness. And because of His integrity, because of His infinite integrity, He loves us with an impersonal love. And that means He loves us with an impersonal love no matter where we are, no matter whether we're making good decisions or not. No matter whether we're in carnality or whether we're filled with the Spirit. No matter whether we're in reversionism or spiritual maturity. No matter whether we're making good decisions or bad decisions, God loves us with an impersonal love forever and ever and ever. And it never depends on who and what you are. It always depends on who and what God is. That is encouragement. God loves you with virtue love, with impersonal love, based on His character, based on His integrity. God loves you. And that's encouragement. You see, this problem-solving device, grace orientation, has encouragement, but what is hooked up with that encouragement is what's behind the whole thing is that God loves us. God loves you right now with impersonal love. I don't know where you are. I don't know whether you're in fellowship, out of fellowship. I don't know whether you're a baby believer, adolescent, mature. I don't know whether you're making good decisions or bad decisions in your life. I really don't know, and it's not for me to know, but I know this. God loves you. God loves you. The living God loves you, and that's the only God that counts. Doesn't work, make any difference if they're the false God loves you. But you know, the false God never do love you. The false gods hate you. The false gods send little children with bombs strapped to them to blow up other people. Those are false gods. They hate people. There are a lot of religions in the world, and they're religions that hate and destroy and tear down. They send little children with bombs strapped to them as suicide bombers to go into a group of innocent people and blow them up. That is not God. That is hate, pure and simple. Hate. That is evil. That is not God. We today, we don't have the, nobody wants to be, have the guts enough to say Speak truth. Be honest with the American people. We don't have a president who's honest. And tell the truth. Instead, we want to be politically correct and diverse, have great diversity, and allow all these things. Well, fine to have these different religions here, but you got to call a spade a spade. When those religions have an objective, one, destroy and annihilate Israel, two, destroy and annihilate America, three, destroy and annihilate any democracy that stands for freedom, then you need to call a spade and say, that's evil. But they don't love you. I don't ever consider that love when they send a little child as a suicide bomber, destroying that child's life. By the way, that's child sacrifice. And that is a horrible evil. And the Bible says anyone that does anything that harms a child like that should have a millstone put around their neck and tossed in the bottom of Lake Mead. You didn't know Lake Mead was in there, did you? Well, in the sea, it says, but we're a little ways from the sea. We're close to Lake Mead. That's good enough. We could raise the water level a lot by putting all those people in the bottom of Lake Mead. And the fish would probably prosper, too. That's what the Bible says, because the living God is a God of love. There's a lot of false gods that are gods of hate and destruction. But the living God is a God of love. And there is encouragement for us, eternal encouragement and strength, because God always loves us. The living God loves us with virtue love. First of all, He loves us with impersonal love, which means it doesn't matter where you are or what you think or what you're doing. You might have really blown it. You know you blew it. Your parents know you blew it. Maybe your parents don't know. Yet. Family doesn't know you blew it. But you know you blew it. And God loves you. And you're going, wow. Wow, God loves me and I just was a total jerk and God loves me? Wow. I was a total jackass and God still loves me? I'm no damn good and God loves me? Wow. And He always loves me? He's always loved you. And now here's something else. When you come to the cross and place your faith in Jesus Christ, God imputes His righteousness to you. And when He imputes His righteousness to you, He loves His righteousness. And now He can love you with personal love because you have His imputed righteousness inside of you. And when He looks at you, He doesn't look at you and see you. He sees His righteousness residing in you through your faith in Christ. And now He can send personal love to you. Not only impersonal love, but personal love. And God loves us with virtue love, made up of both impersonal and personal love. You see, personal love depends on the object. And in personal love, now we have God's imputed righteousness. And now He can send personal love to us because we have His righteousness residing in us through faith. Now let's go back to this. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us, and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strength in your hearts. Okay, so point one, God's virtue love toward us is a part of the eternal comfort of grace. God's Virtue love toward us is a part of the eternal comfort of grace. And that is so awesome and so powerful, and that is with you no matter what goes on in the world or in America or in Las Vegas or at your job or in your family, in your neighborhood. It makes no difference. God loves you with virtue love. And God's virtue love is a part of the eternal comfort of grace. Now, secondly, God has provided encouragement for the lowest moments in our lives. God has provided encouragement for the lowest moments in our lives. That's what this is saying. And some of you, you know those lowest moments of your life. And you might have lower ones coming. Each one of you sitting here can reflect for a moment and think of some very low moments in your life. Now, this passage is teaching us that eternal encouragement, God has provided encouragement for the lowest moments in our lives. By the way, that word in verse 16, God has given us eternal comfort or encouragement, is aionios paraklesis. Aionios, A-I long O-N-I-O-S. Aionios is the word eternal, means eternal. Eternal paraklesis. Looks like this in the Greek. P-A-R-A-K-L long E-S-I-S. Paraklesis. Comes from the verb parakaleo. Parakaleo means to encourage, to comfort, to help. To exhort also can mean to exhort, to summon someone for help, to advise. All of that comes from the verb parakaleo, but this is the noun paraklesis that comes from it. And it means encouragement, comfort. Encouragement and comfort. But it's not just any encouragement and comfort, it's eternal encouragement and comfort. God has provided encouragement and comfort for the lowest moments in our lives. And how does it come? By grace. Grace orientation. That's why you need to get this problem-solving device out on the flat line, the forward line of troops in your soul. You need a forward line of troops in your soul. And that flat line needs to be made up of God's problem-solving devices. Because you're going to have a lot of different pressures and adversity and suffering come in and attack your soul. And if you have that flat line, that forward line of troops, and it intercepts it and deals with it and you handle it, and from grace orientation, when grace orientation meets that pressure, that suffering, that adversity, grace orientation meets it, and guess what? Encouragement and comfort. And if you don't have it, then the pressure and the adversity, the suffering comes and goes right into your soul, and you don't have any forward line of troops. You don't have God's problem-solving devices. You don't have grace orientation. And so it goes right into your soul, and you convert the pressure, the problem, the suffering, you convert it into stress. And when you convert it into stress, Well, you're going to have all kinds of problems. You're going to have problems in your soul, and you're going to have problems in your body, because stress causes all kinds of problems in the body. Stress will wipe you out physically and soulishly. But there's no need for you as a believer to convert it into stress. All you have to do is have enough humility to find a sound Bible teaching church and consistently and faithfully assemble to learn God's Word and to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and to learn God's problem-solving devices and have them established out on the flat line of your soul so that no matter what comes down into your periphery by way of adversity or suffering or problems, you handle it, and instead of stress, you have comfort and encouragement and strength, soul strength, to handle it and pass it. And that's why no matter what comes down the pike here in America, I expect you all to pass with flying colors. There's no reason why you don't. You have assembled in humility to learn God's Word and believe it. You understand the spiritual life. You understand the spiritual skills. You understand that the power has to be God and not you. You understand that it has to be the power of God and the grace of God. It has to be the filling of the Spirit, not the energy of the flesh. You understand that you lose the filling of the Spirit through sin. You recover it through rebound. You understand the importance of consistently and faithfully learning and believing God's Word so you grow up spiritually and advance to spiritual maturity so that you can glorify God to the maximum and learn these problem-solving devices and get them established on the flat line of the soul. And so when it hits, you execute. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like preparation and being prepared and being a mature believer. And when no matter what hits, you execute. It's like a person serving in the military, the most wonderful and phenomenal profession that you can serve in. We have those serving in the military in this auditorium. Honorable profession. And you train 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 and you go through all of these scenarios and you train and you train and you train and you prepare. And then you're in battle, you're in combat, and then a situation comes up, and you execute. You execute. Because you've trained and trained and trained, and you're ready. You know what to do. You have become a professional in your field. And God wants you as believers to become professionals, rightly dividing the word of truth, having God's word in your soul to apply skillfully to your life and execute. That's what wisdom is. The word wisdom, Sophia in the Greek, chokmah in the Hebrew, wisdom means skill, to skillfully apply the absolute truth of God's word. And you will skillfully apply the absolute truth of God's word if you have God's Word in your soul, in your heart. God has provided encouragement for the lowest moments in our lives. 3. So encouragement of our heart comes from metabolized doctrine in the stream of consciousness. Encouragement of our heart comes from metabolized doctrine, the Word of God that we've learned and believed. And since when we believe it, it enters into our heart and into the stream of consciousness of our heart. And through the filling of the Spirit, now from that stream of consciousness, you can take out that truth and apply it skillfully to your life. by the Spirit of God, by the power of God, by the grace of God. But it has to be by God's power and God's grace. We got a lot of religion today, but you know what? Religion is Satan's, one of his top strategies is religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's a personal relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ, entered into by faith in Him. There are a lot of religions all over the world, and they are Satan's number one strategy. He said, I will be like the Most High God, Isaiah 14:12-14. You know, and we're going to be studying this on Thursday night, and it goes right along with what we're studying here. You know, we're studying the strategies, the different strategies that Satan has. He is the ruler of planet Earth right now. He took it over when Adam fell, and he will have it until the second Adam, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, comes and returns to this earth and assumes rulership of planet Earth and the universe. And so we're learning his strategies that he has. And one of his number one strategies is religion and being nice and sweet and helping humanity. All these religions talk about helping humanity. We're going to help humanity. And you say, oh, isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? Look at all the good they're doing. Oh, they're helping here and helping there. But there's no power of God. There's no grace of God. Oftentimes the social gospel is given, and the social gospel is a false gospel. Social gospel is not salvation. Social gospel is a false gospel. You see, you think of Satan and you think of the drunks on Skid Row. And you know, Satan is embarrassed over the drunks on Skid Row. So some of you, shape up. Just checking to see if you're still relaxing. Some of you are embarrassing the devil. Well, that's good. I'm glad you have a sense of humor. I'm checking on you from time to time, looking at you. Some of you get going along. I thought, well, they're about ready to go over the side here. No, that really does. That embarrasses the devil. Skid Row, the drunks, and well, he'd want to clean everything up, build churches and temples all over with little morons on top of them. He wants everybody to dress nice and shower and use deodorant and come to church, do all those things. He just loves that. You think that's just wonderful. Just so you don't hear the grace of God, the grace gospel, just so you don't hear that Jesus Christ went to a cross because He loved you so much, and He took your place, and He was your substitute, and He bore the penalty for all of your sins once and for all. And if you just simply believe in Him, you will live with Him forever and ever. And He doesn't want that out there. And so He's developed false gospels of works. Who and what you are and what you're doing and how wonderful you are and all the help you're doing to humanity. And it's evil, evil, evil. And it's Satan's strategy at the best. But that's Thursday night. Come Thursday night. A little preview for Thursday night. So encouragement of the heart comes from the Word of God that you consistently and faithfully learn and believe and then circulates in the stream of conscience of your heart through the filling of the Spirit. Now point four, the Greek verb parakaleo. There's the noun paraklesis. Here's the verb that it comes from, parakaleo. P P-A-R-A-K-A-L-E, long O, parakaleo. The Greek verb parakaleo means to encourage, to comfort, to exhort, to summon someone for help or advise. To encourage, to comfort, to exhort, to summon someone for help or advise. That's the word, the first verb we have in verse 17. Comfort, parakaleo, encourage. So now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal encouragement and comfort and good confidence by grace, parakaleo, encourage and comfort, and sterizo, strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. All right, parakaleo. Mean to encourage, to comfort, to exhort, to summon someone for help or advice. Five, all of these meanings are pertinent to the function of grace orientation. All of these meanings are pertinent to the function of grace orientation as a problem-solving device in your soul. Six, in grace orientation, the believer summons the Word of God that he has believed in the stream of consciousness of the heart for encouragement, for comfort, and for self-exhortation of the soul. In grace orientation, the believer summons the Word of God that he has learned and believed in the stream of consciousness of the heart for encouragement, for comfort, and for self-exhortation of the soul. You see, you assemble in humility in a sound Bible teaching church, and you respect God and His Word and the pastor teaching. You've been learning it and growing and believing it, and now you have it in your heart, and now something comes down the pike and the Holy Spirit takes that doctrine you have in your soul and pulls that doctrine out so you can apply it skillfully to your life, and it comforts you and encourages you and provides self-exhortation in your soul. Seven. There is no greater power than the power of the infallible Word of God circulating in your heart, in the stream of consciousness of your soul, where it forms grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. There is no greater power than the power of the infallible Word of God circulating in your heart, circulating in the stream of consciousness of your soul, where it forms grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. The Word of God is alive and what? Powerful. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Two things about this appear that you have in your laps. Two things about it that separates it from every other book, the billions of books in libraries all over the world, and in libraries that used to be in the world and no longer exist, but they've been found through archaeology. There's two things that make this different than all the others. It's alive. It's living. And it's powerful. And how is it powerful? Well, it's sharper than any Machaira. And a Machaira was the super weapon of the ancient world. The Machaira was the super weapon the Romans invented that conquered the Roman Empire. The two-edged sword. The Machaira. The Apostle Paul saw that Machaira when he was in prison in Rome. He was under house arrest, and there was the Roman centurion standing there with all of his gear on, with the Machaira at his side. And I'm sure that that Roman centurion talked to Paul and told him about many of the times in combat, where he had been. They went and conquered the entire world, the known world at that time, civilization, the Europe and all the way over to Great Britain, and until they got up to Scotland. And they stopped at Scotland because it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it to go any further because in Hadrian, they call it Hadrian's Wall. Hadrian's Wall. They didn't want to go any farther because the people over there that were fighting them were naked. And they painted their bodies blue. And they attacked them. Naked blue bodies. The original blue man's group. And the Romans said, that's it. They can have it. There's nothing. There's something wrong with the water over there. Those people are not right in the head. And they stopped right there. The super weapon was the Machaira. And God tells us that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any Machaira. Greater than the super weapon of the Roman army. One of the greatest armies of all time. Now, there is no greater power than the power of the infallible Word of God circulating in your heart, your stream of consciousness, where it forms grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. 8. Grace orientation functions in the soul before it functions in your life. But what a amazing thing. The Word of God is powerful. Now you're here this morning, and some of you are here. Every time those doors open, you're here in humility to learn God's Word, to learn grace and learn truth. And you've been believing God's Word. And you have something so powerful, and it's in your heart, and it's the Word of God. And you have it in your soul. You have the Word of God, which is powerful and alive, and then you have the Spirit of God, which is the power to live this spiritual life. And you combine the two, the power of the Word of God with the power of the Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit, and you have the greatest power system that the humanity has ever known to live this unique spiritual life and glorify God. You have God's power. And it's all God's grace. God has given you the indwelling and filling of the Spirit by grace. God gives you His Word by grace. God gives you a spiritual gift of communication, pastor, teacher, by grace, so that you can learn it and grow and have this power reality in your soul and in your life. Day by day. Day by day, brick by brick. So grace orientation functions in the soul before it functions in your life. But what a great thing to have in your soul. 9. The second verb we have in verse 17, the first one is parakaleo. The second verb we have is stairizo. S-T, long E-R-I-Z, long O, stairizo. That's the word translated strengthen in verse 17. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us, virtue love, and given us eternal encouragement and comfort and good confidence by grace, parakaleo and stearizo your hearts. Encourage, comfort, and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Stearizo. Point 9, the Greek word stearizo means to fix something so that it stands upright and immovable, to support, to fix something so that it stands upright and immovable, to in construction you put a brace on it, you brace it, to provide support. 10. This came to mean someone who was strong in their spiritual life. Strong in their spiritual life. Eleven. God has provided grace. God has provided grace so that you can stand upright in your spiritual life. So that you can be supported and have strength in your spiritual life and not be fazed at all by stresses or adversities or pressures of life. God has provided grace so that you can stand upright in your spiritual life, supported in your spiritual life, not fazed by the stresses, adversities, and pressures of life. And then it says, parakaleo and stearizo your hearts in every good work and word. The word good is agathos. A-G-A-T-H-O-S. Agathos means good of intrinsic value. Intrinsically good. It refers to divine good. There's lots of kinds of good. Human good. Human good, dead works, come from your old sin nature. Your area of strength don't mean a thing. That's the religions of the world. They have a lot of human good, dead works that don't mean a thing. This is divine good. And divine good is the result of God's power and God's grace. It's the result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, filled with the Spirit, consistently and faithfully learning and believing God's Word, executing God's will, plan, and purpose for your life. And as you live the spiritual life by God's grace, by God's power, the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, there's production in your life, and that production in your life is divine good. Divine good is the result of living the spiritual life. It's not how you live the spiritual life. This isn't the basis of living the spiritual life. This is the result of living the spiritual life. So when you are operating by God's power, God's grace, filling of the Spirit, the Word, the power of the Word of God, the power of the Spirit of God in your soul, and you grow up and advance to maturity, there will be production in your life. And that production, ergon, will be divine good production. And there will be, it says, logos. The word for work is ergon, looks like this. E-R-G-O-N. That's works, production. That's divine good production. Word is logos. There will be good doctrine. divine viewpoint thinking in your soul, thinking divine viewpoint, and you will communicate grace and truth to others. You will fulfill your ambassadorship and tell the good news about Jesus Christ to unbelievers and give them the grace gospel of simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving the gift of eternal life. You will communicate grace. You'll communicate truth by the power of God, by the grace of God. And you'll see unbelievers come to know Christ as their Savior. And you'll communicate grace and truth to believers. Believers who are reversionists, believers who are losers, believers who are enemies of the cross of Christ. And you'll communicate grace and truth to them because the only hope they ever have is to turn back to grace and truth and operate by God's power and God's grace. So you see there's some production here. But the production is always the result. Now here's the principle. It is your own free will. It is your own free will that must respond to God's grace. You see, God initiates grace, but your own free will has to respond to it. By the way, that's another difference between the living and true God and all the false gods. The false gods, you don't have a free will. You don't have a free will. And if you, from your free will, decide that you will leave a religion like the Muslim religion, then your father takes and murders you and calls it an honor killing. You see, you don't have free will. And what kind of no living and true God tells the parents to murder their children because they chose to worship the living and true God? You see, it's your own free will that must respond to grace. And another principle, it's your own free will that must learn the Word of God in order to orient to grace. It is your own free will that must learn the Word of God in order to orient to grace. All right, we're going to take a break, give you about 15, and we'll be back here for part 2.